about that. Okay, so I'm going to share the screen again. Okay, so we have the Torah when it's describing Moshe commands the people in Perach of Zion. He says at Har Grizim Har Eva, there could be a whole bunch of curses, and it's Aroish, cursed is a person who makes an idol. Right? Actually, we'll make it both Hebrew and English. Okay? He says, cursed is the person who makes an idol, and everyone's going to answer, Amen. And cursed is the person who curses his parents, and everyone says, Amen. Cursed is the person who basically does Hasagas Gvul, who basically encroaches on his friend's property, and everyone's going to answer, Amen, etc. So you have all these specific curses, and at the very end, Pasuk Chavav, the Pasuk says, Orer asher lo yakim es divrei ha-Torah hazos, la-sos osam, v'amar kol amen. Cursed be the person who does not uphold the words of the Torah to do them, and everyone's going to say amen. Now, before you tell me all the explanations that you've heard for what this line means, how is this, before give me an explanation, because I want to work on the language that we use here. How is this different than all the other previous curses, other than the fact that it seems more general than all the other curses? How is this different grammatically or language-wise? How is it different?
It's negative.
It's negative. Very good. So one thing is it's negative, right? One thing is that it's negative. In other words, this is a curse if you fail to do something, as opposed to everything else, which is a curse if you do something. What words that are used here that seem to be a little bit unusual, or what words are unusual in this pasuk? Maybe that I would have said something different. Was that Judah? Who just spoke? Did Judah?
Yes.
Yeah. So what did you say, Judah?
Lasososam.
Right. In other words, the Torah could have simply said, "Arora sher lo yakim es divrei Torah azos." Cursed be the person who doesn't observe the Torah. What's lasosam to do them? Is that the same thing as a sher lo yakim? I mean, I would ask that in two different questions. Right, exactly. I would have first asked the question what Herbie said. Why isn't simply Aro Sher Lo Yases Divrei Torah Zos? What's the language of Lo Yakim? And what's the language of Lo Yakim Lasos? Okay? Okay, Asher Lo Mekayim, as opposed to say in the future, that will not uphold.
Yakim, like something like the rain.
Okay, right. So, okay. Oh, you're saying Yakim means to raise as opposed to Mikayim, observe.
Yeah, maybe to raise means to raise it to another level.
Yeah, okay. So we'll before we get into answers and explanations, let's just try to, I want to sort of raise the question so we can then see how the different Mefarshim translate these words. So the word Yakim is a very interesting word. Lasoso Sam is a very interesting word. It's in the negative. And I think there's an interesting question as to what is the phrase, what are the two possibilities as to what Divrei HaTorah HaZos refers to?
Could be the Klalot right before.
Right, or what else?
The whole Torah.
The whole Torah, right. In other words, is as Divrei HaTorah HaZos the whole Torah, or is it simply the previous curses? By the way, if it's the previous curses, then like, what are you adding? Right, so in other words, before we now suggest different answers, we want to answer in this very singular pasuk. We're going to see there's a whole host of explanation. I'm going to try to categorize them and see what the message of this pasuk is. But wait, one second. Just give me one second. Give me one second. Let me finish. I'll take your comment. Then again, I think we want to understand the phrase of lo yakim, which is more than simply lo yaseh. It seems something more than that. We have to translate that word. La sosa sum seems extra.
Okay.
And is divrei HaTorah zos, this the whole Torah or just the previous booking? And someone made a comment. Who made a comment before?
It's Ari. I think that all of the comments above are going to be based upon man to man. And now what's being said at the end is, listen, also having consideration all of the mitzvot that are between man and Hashem.
Okay, so you're saying Divrei Torah Zos is as opposed to, you say it's a contrast with the previous ones. I mean, that plus other ones. Okay, maybe. Okay, we'll see. Okay, any other thoughts? So let's do a deep dive into some of the Mefarshim, okay? So what we're first going to do is the following. In order to sort of uncover this, what we're going to do is, I'm first going to share with you, I think, two different approaches that say that Divrei HaTorah has, that Divrei HaTorah Zot is more like a catch-all. Another question is also, is Divrei HaTorah Zot referring to basically not observing certain mitzvos? Or is Lo Yakim referring to something more than just observance? Right? Because it doesn't say Lo Yasa. So in other words, two different questions here. As Divrei HaTorah Zot, are we simply talking about, you know, maybe what Ari was saying, not just these mitzvos, but maybe some other mitzvos that we're referring to? Or is Lo Yakim telling you something totally different? So I'm going to now go to the source sheet here. And we start with Bechor Shor. It's a French commentary. And the Bechor Shor says the following. Everyone can see it? It's large enough? We're good? Should I make it a little larger? Okay. Asher Lo Yakim. He says the following. Shelo Yikayim V'yavor Aver B'Seser. He says, Lo Yakim is the same as Lo Yikayim. He says, cursed be the person who doesn't observe any sin B'Seser in private. For example, if you violate Shabbos and Yom Tov, or you eat on Yom Kippur in private. So, in other words, this is a catch-all, according to the Bechor Shor, of any sins that you commit in private, right? Because the sins that you commit in public, society will deal with. So you might think you can get away with sins in private. So the Torah is saying, oh, you're going to be cursed. Additional scare tactic. You're going to be cursed. And now, so we have a whole bunch of cases, and then we have this catch-all general, and don't commit any other sins in private. So of course, why then does the Torah list these 12 examples before giving the catch-all? Why didn't you say in general, or Rosh HaLoyakim, you know, any sins? So he says, Aval ein regilus lasos kuma elu habufu rashos. Apparently, the 12 sins that were mentioned are ones that are common. So therefore, so first he says, don't do these common sins that people think they can do because they're in private. And just to give you examples, and then he gives a general, and he'll feel kolam bichlal v'lo perishim behedya. Therefore, he doesn't explain them openly. Behind you, oror bichlal, oror biprat, baruch bichlal, baruch biprat. In other words, there is the goal here, according to the Bechor Shor, is to tell you that you are cursed if you commit any sin in private. You think, oh, it's only between me and God. No one's going to see it, right? So I can do it. I can encroach. I can move the boundary line between me and my friend. I can curse my parents in private. No one's going to know about it. But it's really any sin. I might commit. I might violate Shabbos in private, and no one's going to. You know, no one's going to know. So the Torah first lists common examples of that. So you're right. Yeah. People sometimes do that in private. Oh, yeah, I sometimes do that in private. So it gives concrete examples. It makes a general rule. So again, he views it as a catch-all. And Rashi as well, a little bit different. Rashi as well says, Orosh Eliyakim, Khan. I'm sorry? Mike, you had a comment? Oh, sorry. So Rashi says, Asher lo yakim, Khan klal es kol ha-Torah kula. So Rashi says it's referring to all sins. Referring to all sins. And of course, Rashi has to ask, you have to ask the same question. Why is he referring to the whole Torah? In other words, why did you specify previous sins? So maybe similar as well. Maybe the prior ones are more common, so you have to specify them. Rashi is a little bit different than Bechor Shor, but both of them have in common that they're saying it's just a catch-all, that not only if you commit the above sins, are you cursed, but if you commit other sins also, you get cursed. Bechor Shor, other sins in private, and Rashi says all sins. Why specify certain sins? Probably because the other ones, perhaps, maybe people, for some reason, they think they can do it for private, and no one's going to make a big deal about it. Interestingly enough, Ben.
I'm having a problem with this whole train of thought.
Okay.
That we're being cursed because we're doing some... we have to be reminded that not to do averos that people don't see because you're still going to get punishment for it. It almost sounds to me as if we're saying that being cursed as an additional punishment, so to speak, because you try to... You were afraid of man, but you're not afraid of God.
Correct.
Knowing that God sees everything anyway.
Correct.
So it sounds like you're getting the punishment for whatever you did, but in addition to that, you're going to get a punishment because you thought you can get away with it because man doesn't see you.
Okay. I mean, there's other times in halacha where we find that. For example, one of the classic examples is that the thief, a ganav, someone who steals in private. So what does he pay when he gets caught?
I agree. Right.
Okay. So what we're saying is that don't think. You know, and it's human nature. Listen, it's human nature. So we have to be. It's human nature that you know we're embarrassed. Sometimes we're embarrassed to do things when other people see that we make a mistake. I'm sorry.
Why can't this be pasuk chavva be a summary of the whole Torah?
Okay, it could be, but then Evan, that the Rashi is saying that. Well, let me finish Ben's point, and I'll take your point, Evan. I'm saying that. I think you say you have a problem with this, but I think that's the point. That's human nature. It's human nature that sometimes we do things in private and, you know, we're embarrassed to them in public and the Torah try to warn us against doing that. Evan, why is it not referring to the whole Torah? So Rashi believes, indeed, it is referring to the whole Torah. I'm just pointing out that we have to ask the question, why does the Torah list 12 specific examples to curse and then list this one afterwards? So you have to...
Is he at 12 tribes and
12 awards? Right. There's something with the number. It could be, but then again, you still have to ask the question: why? Fine, list 12, but why these specific 12? All I'm saying is that what we're going to see a totally different approach in dealing with this, which said this, it doesn't. It's not merely about observance of these of certain mitzvos. But it's something else because they're bothered by that question. Rashi is not bothered by that question. He says what you're saying, Evan, or you're saying what he said, that it's referring to the entire Torah, but then you have to ask, oh, why are we mentioning these 12 examples, these specific examples? Maybe these were common sins at the time, okay? Baruch Bechor Shor says that explicitly, and maybe you can say that within Rashi. I just want to point out, I think it was Judah made the point, that we said, it says, Lo Yakim and also La Sososam. So I just want to point out, the Or Chaim HaKadosh explains that don't think, he says, it's the Mashmos is on the whole Torah, right? He says, why does it say, in the second line, why does it say Yakim La Sos? Why does it say Lo Yakim La Sos? She'im Haya Omer Asher Lo Yakim Levad. O Lo Yase Levad, Lo Yase Tekuma L'Sona Yisrael. You know, how can you observe the whole Torah? Let's say you don't have a field, so you can't fulfill the mitzvot of truma and meiser, right? Right? You don't have a slave. Baruch Hashem, we shouldn't have a slave. But Lazeh Omar Lasos Perish Eino Bichlal Oror Ella Mishal Yakim Olav Lasos Kishetasik Yado Asos. So the language of Lo Yakim Lasos means it's like, you know, the Torah tells you there's a mitzvah to divorce your wife. There's no mitzvah. We shouldn't think that. I should divorce my wife. There's sometimes someone needs to divorce their wives. People need to separate based on circumstances. There's no mitzvah, you know, that you have to divorce a wife. It's just that. And there's no mitzvah, right? You can't, if you're not a kohen, you can't fulfill certain mitzvahs that only rely to kohen. There's no beis hamikdash. You can't fulfill certain mitzvahs by the beis hamikdash. So asher lo yakim lasos. So it's only those, you only get cursed if you don't do those mitzvahs that are in your ability to do them.
Right. But Rabbi, what you're saying also that, I mean, a lot of the mitzvahs that you're talking about here are communal. And what they're talking about previously are... really sins of an individual. I don't mean to be, you know...
I don't know. Why are you saying...
They're making reference to sexual sins. They're making references to sins between mother and father, between son and daughter to parents. It's largely the person. It's not the community.
I don't know. Shir Lo Yakim Torah Zos. This just refers to this Torah. It's the whole Torah. I don't know if it specifies
the
community.
But the last thing you say, the whole Torah. Torah because it's saying the community.
Right. Okay. But then again, it could be every mitzvah. It could be every mitzvah. The question is why the first 12? It could be those first 12 people, you know, failed in those mitzvahs. But say so. Yeah, it could be. So another, let me sort of share with you for the last 10 minutes or so, a totally different approach. That we're not talking about observance of specific mitzvahs, but how we relate to the mitzvahs. In other words, maybe lo yakim does not mean to observe, because then it would say lo ya'aseh. Lo yakim more means like upholding the mitzvah. Or the way the Malbim views this, and very interesting, he's obviously dealing with, right, Malbim's living in the 19th century, where many Jews felt they don't have to observe halacha anymore. So he translates it. He said, Abshad Aura Azeh Bo Amit Palsim, it's the philosophers, Omrim, Shehedem Asha Torah Kayem Asolam. Yeah, the Torah is Mikayem, it's forever. Avorak Pnimios Veruchdios Atorah Shema Tzulim B'Hashem. But the inner essence of the spirituality of the Torah comes from God. Avomase Mitzvah Shiasod Mase Adam. But the deeds that come from man, that the quality changes from time to time and place to place. Yeah, we have to keep the spirit of Judaism, but not the actions. And Lazelmar, Ora Isha Yokim is Divra Torah Zos, Shalo Yasa Osa Lidavar Kayim Laad. So the Malbim is basically, he's taking on the reform movement. And he's saying, cursed be the person, that's how he wants to interpret it, who said it's not Kayam, who says that the deeds, who says that basically the mitzvos are not the spirit of the mitzvos? Yeah, that lasts forever, but the ma'aseh mitzvos do not last forever. So it's an attitude towards the mitzvot. This is just one way of looking at it. And the Ramban famously has three different approaches, but they're all working with this assumption that lo yakim doesn't simply mean to do the mitzvos, but it means something more, to uphold the mitzvos. So he has three different approaches. So the first one, he says this, also Rabbeinu Yonah says this, also in Shari Tshuva, and we'll just read the Ramban here. He says, Lefi Dati, this is sort of the, right here, Lefi Dati, Ki HaKabbalah HaZos, what is this acceptance? Sheyode B'mitzvos B'libo, V'yu B'edov Emes V'yamin, that you should admit that the mitzvos in your heart, and they should be true in your eyes. V'yamin she'osa osa yelo schar v'tova. And you should believe that if you do them, you're going to get reward. V'over alem ye'onesh, if you commit a sin, you're going to be punished. V'im yichpor ba'achas mehem. And if you deny one of them, otia ve'edav b'teil olav, you say one of them is irrelevant, hinehu aror, behold, you are cursed. Avalim over l'achas mehem, k'go t'sha'ach al'chaziv ha'shekel t'tavaso. Let's say you ate non-kosher. You really were hungry and you desired a piece of non-kosher meat. You ate it. Oh, shalom, it's a sukkah v'ulav latzlav. That basically you were lazy. You didn't want to sit in the sukkah, or you didn't want to wave lulav. Einenu b'cher mazeh. You're not cursed here. Ki lo amar kasev asher lo ya'aseh, divrei Torah zos, elamar asher lo yakim. So what's the point? This is like the classic example where you know what you say? You say that, you know what, I believe in the Torah 100%. Right now I'm keeping 60%. I make a lot of mistakes. You're not cursed. I make mistakes. So to be a 60% Jew and to realize you're a 60% Jew, so you're not cursed. Because, you know, we all make mistakes. We're all trying to grow, each on our own level. But let's say you're a 90% Jew. And you think you're 100% Jew. In other words, you think, yeah, these last 10% of the mitzvos do not apply. So then you're cursed. Now, it's okay to be human and to struggle, and we're meant to struggle. God created us with a Yetzer Hara. We struggle to do good, and that's okay. But if we deny one of the mitzvos, so that's an issue. That's lo yakim. So that is, so you have to believe in every mitzvah. That's the Ramban. Rabbeinu Yona makes the comment here. I have it in Shari Tshuva, Shar Aleph, Ozvav. He writes, Ki Adam Ein Tzadik Par Sher Yas Tov Lo Yachta. Just in case you think someone in your life is perfect, Kohelet says, not. There is no righteous person in the world that does good and does not sin. Avakosh Shimas Yitzhah Meis Pam. We conquer our Yetzer Hara. You know, and then we repent. Okay, that's okay. But if you're someone who says, basically, you do what you want, and right, if you say, for example, you know, I will keep the whole Torah, except for one thing, this is not for me, so then you violate the Dover Shelo Yakim. That's the first explanation. The Ramban has another explanation. What's Lo Yakim? So he cites Yerushalmi. He says, is there a Torah that falls? Shel Lo Yakim to uphold it? Is there a Torah that falls? So he cites here, in the name of Shmuel, this in Yerushalmi, Al-Davar Zakara Yoshiav Amar Alay Lakim. When Yoshiahu, he finds a Sefer Torah, and he says, Alay Lahakim. I need to uphold the Torah. And he basically says that if you have the ability to lahachzik the Torah, if you have the ability to strengthen the Torah and you don't strengthen it, then you are the category of being cursed. And
this was supposedly the pasuk that that Torah was on.
Yes, they found this pasuk, correct. So, Beis HaMelech v'Nesiyu Shebiyarim Lahakim HaSatorah B'yad HaMavad Limosa. So this is the responsibility of the leadership who has their ability to uphold the Torah. And even if you're a righteous person and you could uphold the Torah and you don't, then you are cursed. So the point is, this is speaking to the leaders. If you have the ability to change people's position, then you should. We're not going to be inside. Ketava Kabbalah has a little bit different. He says that if you are a leader and you appear, oh, look at me, I'm so frum. I in public, you seem to be someone who observes the Torah, but really you're a trickster in private. And then people look at you and they'll find out in the end. So then you're being cursed. In other words, if you're in a leadership position, you have a responsibility to uphold the Torah. So get right. So that's the second explanation of the Ramban. Then we have this third, it's almost comical position of the Ramban. But I don't think it's comical, but on the surface it seems comical. He says, Li nireh al chazan she'enu mekim sefer Torah latzibur laharos p'nei k'sivosu lakol. What does it mean? When you do Hagbah, what do you got to do? You have to show everyone the text. By the way, it's a halacha. You have to tell people, that's why people should turn around when you do the Hagbah, so everybody can see the writing. So you have to show it to everyone. So it's a mitzvah, l'chol adashim v'nashim liras ha-kasuv, l'chorav alomar v'zos ha-Torah. You have to show everyone. And then they say v'zos ha-Torah. So does that mean that anybody doesn't show everyone the Torah, that they're cursed? To me, that's a little strange. I think the message here is the following here. What does it mean to pick up the Torah? It means that you're excited for the Torah. It means that you show everyone, the men, women, and children, right? You see everyone, that you show excitement to the Torah. I think this is a metaphor for Jewish pride. Our responsibility is not simply, again, the first pshat of the Ramban is the mitzvah to believe. The second pshat of the Ramban, it's a mitzvah, we have a responsibility to lead, to influence others via power. And the third is don't be embarrassed to be a Jew. Pick up that Torah, show it to other people, be excited. It means Jewish pride. It means being a walking Kiddush Hashem. It means, you know, classic is people have told me, you know, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he says, you don't have to wear your yarmulke and your job's gonna cause you to lose your job. Someone once told me, I don't want to wear a yarmulke on my job because then I'll have to be a Kiddush Hashem. Then I'll have to watch the way I talk. Then I'll have to watch to everything I do. No, that's bedafka why you should wear a yarmulke. Because you have to be a walking Kiddush Hashem. You should be excited to show that you are the most ethical person in society. That's our responsibility, to be excited to show the beauty of Torah to others. So just to summarize what we've said tonight, we asked a whole bunch of questions on this line. Or asher lo yakim. It doesn't say lo yatz, it says asher lo yakim. It's called Divrei HaTorah Zos. It's referred to the previous 12 curses. It's something new. Why is it Shelo Yakim and Lasos? So one, we developed one line of thought that's saying it's referring to the whole Torah. Either maybe all sins that you're cursed if you commit any sin in private. Or maybe if you commit any sin. Why list the first 12 examples? The first 12 examples, maybe those were sins that were commonly committed. That was Bechor Shor and Rashi. But then we discussed that maybe, no, the goal here is not about doing, not committing sins, not about doing mitzvahs. It's about upholding the Torah. So what does that mean? The Malbim says upholding the Torah means That means you got to make it kayam. You're saying that it lasts forever. That you believe that even not just the inner meaning of the Torah, but also the outward actions are forever. And then you have the Ramban's three explanations. What is that you believe in each and every mitzvah? Some of them are more difficult than others. Don't get me wrong. For me myself, there are certain mitzvahs that are very easy for me to understand as a modern Jew. Some of the mitzvahs, to me, as a modern Jew, they're difficult for me to understand because they're countercultural. But yet, I'm allowed to say, I don't understand, but I believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I believe that everything comes from God. The second explanation is that what? That if you're in a role of leadership, you have a responsibility to try to influence others, and if you fail, so this could be a cause for Orosh Eloyachim Estivar Torah Zos. And the third is, we demonstrate excitement for Torah and mitzvahs to others. And when we do that, we certainly uphold the Torah. So that is different explanations for this very, very beautiful and central pasuk in our Jewish life.